When you were a kid, I'm sure you played the game Follow the Leader. It's a game where someone is chosen as the leader, and everyone else, you guessed it, must do what the leader does. And so if the leader twirls, then everyone else twirls. If the leader hops on one foot, then everyone else hops on one foot. It's innocent enough, right? But what happens if the leader does something bad, like throws a rock at a car? Or punches someone in the arm? Then you have a choice to either follow the leader or not. You always had that choice, even when the action was innocent or silly. It only becomes difficult when the leader does something that is wrong. Now, as a child, you have to choose whether to follow the leader and do something bad, or don't follow the leader and be left out from the rest of the group. It's not always an easy decision for a six-year-old to make. But that game's just for kids, right? We don't play that game anymore as adults, do we? Actually, I think yes. Yes, we do. It may not be as explicit or as obvious as when we were younger, but we still play Follow the Leader. And if we're not careful, not discerning, the leaders we are following may just lead us, perhaps unknowingly, to great harm. And so in today's message, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. And the main point from these verses that Jesus makes is this: be careful whom you follow. Be careful whom you follow. And over the course of this passage, Jesus gives three reasons why we should be careful with whom we follow, which is what we're going to focus on this morning. And so let's start off by reading verse 39 again, where we find the first reason that Jesus gives us in terms of warning us to be careful with whom we follow. So all eyes back in the Bible. Keep your Bible open. I'm going to be looking at it, talking about it. I want you to see what I'm teaching. All right, so verse 39 of Luke chapter 6. Jesus says this: he also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? All right, we'll stop there. Jesus packs a lot into a little bit of words. Well, in verse 39, Jesus asks two questions. And in the original Greek language, both of these questions have implied answers. And so you could read verse 39 as this: a blind man can't lead a blind man, can he? With the implied answer being no. And then he says, they will both fall into a pit, will they not? With the implied answer being yes. Yes, they both will fall into a pit. And so what Jesus is clearly getting at is that a blind person is not a good guide. In fact, if you let a blind person lead you, most likely you will bump into something or get injured, severely hurt. In fact, the word used by Jesus here for the word pit is not referring to a small pothole or a trench. It's actually a deep, like, we're talking like 6 feet deep hole. And so, in other words, falling into a pit like that would be disastrous. And likewise, Jesus is saying that following a blind leader will lead you to disaster. The blind leading the blind is a picture of poor spiritual guidance. A teacher must be able to see clearly in order to not lead his students into danger. And so who is this blind teacher that Jesus is talking about? He could be referring to the Pharisees. He could also be referring to false teachers. False teachers, by definition, do not know or adhere to God's will, his ways, or his word. They aren't teaching their students to live in a way that is in line with how God intends. And so in this sense, these false teachers are blind. They are leading others away from God and into their harm. The blind teachers could also be the crowd. That is the secular majority of the world. The crowd follows whatever is popular by today's cultural standards, not by God's standards. Their movements are very fickle. They just go wherever the wind blows, so to speak. Wherever the next fad or ideology pops up, the crowd is quick to move in that direction. They are blind in that they have no idea where they are going. They are just following. Now look, the blind teacher could be a variety of other people as well. A variety of other people in your lives. They could be your parents, your siblings, friends, politicians. Any number of these people could be blind teachers that ultimately are leading to your disaster. But let's not limit the blind teacher to only other people. We ourselves could be the blind teacher. If our eyes are not opened to see the truth of God's word, and if we are so blinded by our arrogance and our own knowledge apart from God, then we can blindly lead others away from God and into harm ourselves. The last blind teacher that I'll mention, though there are more, is one that could be shocking. The blind teacher that leads so many people of this world to great disaster is their heart. I'm sure you've heard people say, "Follow your heart, for it will never lead you astray." Oh, really? Never lead you astray, huh? How about when your heart demands that you get vengeance on someone who has wronged you? Or how about when your heart is always telling that your needs are greater than everyone else's needs? Or how about when your heart tells you to commit sin because it just feels so good, so right? If your body wants it and craves it, then it must be good, right? Your heart may tell you that you can't deny your nature. You can't deny its own desires. That if it wants, insert the blank, you must have it. In fact, you deserve it. Be careful. Be careful in blindly following your heart, for it too can be a blind guide that will lead to disaster. Now, is Jesus over-exaggerating here when he says that it will lead you to disaster? That blind teachers will really lead you to your great harm? I don't think he's over-exaggerating. I think he's absolutely right that if you follow a blind teacher, it will ultimately lead to your ruin. If you follow a false teacher or follow the crowd, they will most assuredly lead you away from God. Neither a false teacher nor the crowd live in conformity to God and His word and His will and His ways. They will live by their own standard of truth, which is radically different from God's standard of truth. And so following either of these teachers would be following a completely different path that leads away from God and most certainly would end in disaster. There are some who zealously follow certain politicians. I don't have one politician in mind, in case you were wondering. There are many politicians with zealous followers. There are some who zealously follow certain politicians who unknowingly are blindly leading their followers to disaster. Some of these zealous followers make idols of the politicians, and their joy and security and their comfort is wrapped up and the success of their particular politician. And if their candidate were to lose, they fall into a deep pit of anger, resentment, and despair. And if you blindly follow your heart, you will most assuredly end up self-centered, always submitting to your wants, the wants of your heart, even if they're sinful. And in the end, if you blindly follow your heart as it blindly leads you to your ruin. And that disastrous pit is an unrepentant, habitual, sinful living. And so blind teachers will lead you to disaster. Now, Jesus gives a second reason why we need to be careful with who we follow. And that is found in verse 40. And so let's return to the Bible, return to chapter 6, verse 40, and let's read that verse again. Jesus continues, and he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." All right, we'll stop there. And so Jesus tells us, be careful with whom you follow, because you will become like whom you follow. The older that I get, the more that I know this to be true. With every passing year, I become more and more like my dad in a whole number of ways. I find that I'm doing more and more of his quirks and his mannerisms. I react to certain situations in the exact same way that my dad does. I even make the same jokes. My dad has had a tremendous influence on my life, and I have followed in his footsteps, and as a result, I have become like him. Now, in the same way, the same thing could be said with certain preachers who've had a lot of influence in my life. I've sat under their teachings. I've seen their preaching techniques and their styles. And as a result, to some extent, I have become like them in how I preach. You become like whom you follow. Now, this was evidently the case with respect to the teachers back then in the days of Jesus. The teacher-student relationship was a very, very close relationship. The student virtually lived with the teacher because all that he learned from the teacher was passed down through oral instruction. The teacher didn't just give him a book and say, "Here's my book on physics, read it." He taught him. And so it is no wonder that the student became very much like the teacher. And though the nature of the student-teacher relationship has changed quite a bit over the years, teachers can still have a tremendous impact on your life. The longer that you are with them, the more that you will become like them. And so it is crucial that we carefully choose who the teachers are in our lives. If a teacher or a mentor or anyone who has an influence in your life is not following Jesus and his ways, then you too will likely drift away from God. Slowly at first, but then perhaps more rapidly. You will become more and more like your teacher or your mentor who is not walking in step with the Spirit. But on the contrary, if your teacher or the person who does have influence in your life is following God closely, then you too will likely act in a similar fashion. You will be like your teacher. You will live in accordance to God's ways and words, just like your teacher. And church, let me tell you, I have so many examples, not anyone here, but so many examples of people that I know who were led astray by teachers online during the COVID lockdown era. People were just inundated with watching videos of various teachers online, some claiming to be Christians, some who made no claim to be Christians. But many were just led so astray and have very slowly, or sadly not at all, came back to the path. And so I tell you, please, be careful. Be careful with the teachers that you allow to speak into your life, because they have an impact greater than you know. Be careful with whom you follow, because over time, you will become like them. The third reason why we need to be careful with whom we follow is found in verses 41 through 42. And so let's read those two verses again. Verse 41. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. All right. So Jesus tells us to be careful whom you follow, because the self-righteous are not capable of discipling you. Now, to be clear, these two verses do have to deal with judging others properly. We talked about this and looked at this 2 weeks ago when we looked at the first half of verse 37. And in a nutshell, we said that in order to judge someone properly, you first need to take stock of your own issues. You need to take the log that is out of your own eye first, before you have the proper perspective to compassionately and accurately take out the speck that is in someone else's eye. And so you must first deal with your own stuff, deal with your own sin first, and then you can judge others properly. And certainly that is one of the meanings that Jesus intends us to get from verses 41 through 42. But given the context of verses 39 and 40, I think Jesus has a second point that he's trying to get across with these two verses. He's intentional with his placement here. The person whom he is rebuking, going as far to call him a hypocrite, is someone who is not taking the time to examine himself at all, but rather is examining and correcting others. The person clearly is not examining his own behavior, because just a moment of self-reflection would reveal that he has a huge beam in his own eye. He is spending no time self-reflecting his own sinful ways. Instead, he is looking at everyone else and seeing tiny specks in other people's eyes and judging them for them. And so we see that this person is one who does not practice any sort of self-reflection, but rather is a person who is just looking for the wrongs in other people. Now, we also see that this person does not have the proper perspective or the tenderness to correct and disciple someone. Their own issues are completely blinding them from being someone who can reliably correct and judge others. And so this person, in verses 41 and 42, is someone who, first, does not practice self-examination and is thus effectively blind. And then, two, because of their blindness, they are not able to accurately or compassionately correct and disciple. And so do you see the connection with verse 39? In verse 39, Jesus warns that blind warns against blind teachers because they will lead them to disaster. And now here in verses 41 and 42, he is telling us that people who don't remove the huge wooden beam out of their eye, that is, they don't self-examine themselves and deal with their sins, they're blind. They're the blind teachers that you should avoid. They're the blind teachers that you do not follow. They will lead you to disaster. You don't want to become judgmental and arrogant like them. And you don't want to be discipled by them either, because they don't have the proper perspective to judge or to tenderly rebuke. Now, the opposite can be said as well. If you want to lead and teach people well, if you don't want to be a blind guide to the blind, then you must remove that wooden plank from your eye. You must deal with your own issues first. You must be real with yourself and examine your own actions and attitudes, and then promptly remove them, and then you can accurately deal with others. A leader or a teacher who is worth following will have a humble, self-examining disposition about him. The arrogant, self-righteous are not capable of discipling you. So be careful following someone like that. Now, in these four seemingly disjointed, disconnected verses, Jesus effectively gives us three reasons why we should carefully follow. Why we should be careful with whom we follow. The first reason was that the blind teachers will lead you to disaster, and the second reason is because over time you become like those whom you follow. And the third reason was that the self-righteous who don't self-examine themselves are not capable of discipling you. And so, be careful with whom you follow. And this warning, along with the three reasons, culminates in a final conclusion. Though, admittedly, the conclusion is not explicitly stated. But I do think that Jesus implicitly is saying that he is the perfect teacher that we follow. Jesus is the perfect teacher for us to follow. And these verses, Jesus has been saying all along, be careful which teachers you follow. And implicitly, the whole time he's been saying, I'm the teacher that you follow. I'm the one who is worthy to be followed. I'm the one who is perfect that you should be following. Think about it. Jesus is the exact opposite of all the negative things he was warning the disciples about to be on the lookout for. Look at the first one. Jesus is not a blind teacher that leads to disaster. Rather, he is the perfect teacher who will lead to eternal life. Jesus has perfect clarity in every situation. He is all-knowing, and so he knows everything about anything. He can't be duped by others or blinded by his shortcomings because he doesn't have any. He cannot be blinded by his emotions. He sees and knows everything with perfect 20/20 vision. He is not blind, and thus is not like the blind teachers of the world. And since he is not a blind teacher, he will not lead you into a pit. He will not lead you to your disastrous end. Remember, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd that guides, provides, and protects his sheep. He will lead you to good pastures and by still waters for his name's sake. If you truly follow him, he will lead you to God. He will lead you to a restored, reconciled relationship with God the Father. And He will lead you to heaven, where you will enjoy the presence of God and the fullness of joy in His presence forevermore. Jesus is not a blind teacher, but rather He is the only teacher with perfect vision to lead perfectly. Jesus is the perfect teacher who will lead you to eternal life. Now, secondly, Jesus is the perfect teacher to emulate. There never has been, nor will there ever be, someone who is better to become like. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, Daniel, all of these men, Peter, James, John, all of these men were great juggernauts of the faith. They all followed God and led God's people faithfully. And yet they were all flawed. They all had sins like you and me. They had blind spots, but not Jesus. He was and is perfect in every way. He is without sin. Never once did Jesus commit a sin. And so all of His ways are perfect, and His words and His actions are without sin. They are flawless. All of His ways are God-honoring and God-glorifying. And so who better to follow? Who better to emulate than the one whose actions are perfect and God-glorifying? Is it no surprise then that the Bible tells us to be like Jesus? Romans 8:29, for those whom He, that is God, foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is, to be like Jesus. God has predestined us, predestined His chosen people, to be conformed. That is, to be more and more like His Son, Jesus. That's what sanctification is all about. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, I love this verse, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. In other words, the gazing upon the glory of Christ is transformative. When we follow Christ and when we behold Him in His glory and in His perfection, we are transformed. We are changed. We are changed to be more and more into the likeness of Christ. That is, we become more and more like Him. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians 3:18 is saying. Jesus is the perfect teacher to follow and to become like. And finally, thirdly, Jesus is the perfect teacher to discipline and disciple us. There is no better person to disciple us and gently correct us for our specks and logs in our eyes than Jesus. There are many reasons for this, but perhaps most pertinent to our context is the fact that Jesus never has, nor ever will, have any logs or specks in His own eyes. He never had any, nor will He ever, in order to obscure His vision. And since He has no logs in His eyes to remove, He is the one who can perfectly deal with the specks and logs in our own eyes. He has the perfect perspective and knows exactly the right manner and the right timing in which to correct, rebuke, and disciple us. In fact, we know We know that he is the one who opens the eyes of those who are blind, so that they can see and know God and be saved. Jesus takes those who are blinded by their own logs and specks, and he removes them so that they may see Christ and be saved. Jesus is the perfect teacher to disciple and discipline us. There is no better teacher to follow. There is no better teacher to lead you. There is no better teacher to guide you and train you. Jesus is the perfect teacher to follow. And so, church, let me close with a word of encouragement for everyone in this room. It's the same word for both believers and unbelievers. Fix your eyes on Jesus and follow him. Fix your eyes on Christ and follow him. Behold Christ in his glory and commit to following him and following his footsteps. Now, if you're here this morning or if you're watching online and you are not a believer, then I want to encourage you to stop following the blind guides of this world that are ultimately leading you to a disastrous end. Instead, turn away from them and follow Jesus. Look to him and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Submit to him as your perfect teacher and leader, and then radically commit to following him all the days of your life. And if you're a believer here this morning, then I want to encourage you to stop following others that are distracting you from following Jesus. Stop following others that are averting your gaze off of Christ. Stop following others that are pulling you away from just beholding the glory of Christ for all of your days. Sure, you can follow godly teachers who are pointing you to follow Jesus. That I commend you to do. I commend you to follow men who are pointing you and directing you to Christ. But don't allow others to hold such an influence over you that they are leading you away from Jesus. I encourage you to be discerning about whom you follow, whether they are other teachers that you listen to online, or political figures, or whoever they may be. And I pray that you too will set your mind on Christ and radically commit to following him. Church, behold our God seated on the throne. Behold our King with whom no one compares. Come and adore him. And then go and follow him. Follow him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Jesus is the perfect teacher, so follow him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. King Jesus, oh how we love you, and oh how we delight in you. You are the perfect teacher. You see with perfect clarity to remove the specks and the logs out of our eyes, and you guide us and lead us by still waters into green pastures and ultimately into the flock of God if we were to just trust you and follow you. You, Jesus, are the one who will never lead us astray. You are the one that we want to become more like. one. You are the one who could disciple us and lead us into ways, to walk in ways that are pleasing in your sight. And so, Jesus, would we commit to beholding you in your glory? Would we commit to fixing our eyes firmly upon you? Would we commit to following you all the days of our lives? Forgive us, God, for when we follow other teachers that are leading us astray. Forgive us, God, for when we follow our heart down paths that are not honoring in your sight. Forgive us, God, for following our flesh and our sinful nature. Forgive us, God, for being blinded to those whom we are following that are not following you. Give us the courage, God, to leave those teachers behind, to not let them have the influence that they do on us. And instead, would we look to you, Jesus, our perfect teacher, and would we follow you with all of our heart. God, I pray, even now and throughout this week, that you would open our eyes to the blind teachers that we're following and to the teachers that are leading us astray. Open our eyes, God, to see it and give us the courage to leave. King Jesus, oh, how we love you. Would we behold you, our God, and would we worship you with our whole hearts? We love you, our King. Pray these things, Jesus Christ, in your mighty name. Amen.